Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another round of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. The very best in sports and opinion with your host, Bill Emerson. Phone lines are now open at 646-595-2677. Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. My name is Bill Emerson. It is Tuesday, August 24th, and we have a big show. We'll get started here in just a second, so if you want to participate, two ways to do it. Call us, 646-595-2677. Again, 646-595-2677. We'll put you at the very top of the line today. Or if you'd like to email us, evil20032003@yahoo.com. Written, we'll be happy to participate with you today if we can. Let me see if my co-host is here yet. Barry Mullen, are you around yet?
Yes, go ahead, Bill. Glad to be here.
Hey, nice day out there today. It looks like maybe up here in northwest Arkansas, at least, our hot streak is going to end here pretty quickly. As anybody knows, I know yesterday in Dallas it was 110 degrees. Hot up here, but tomorrow maybe highs over in the upper 80s. That won't be so bad for us. We got a lot to talk about today, Barry. We got football, basketball, baseball, college football, pro football, a little bit of everything. So let's get started. We're going to get baseball out of the way right now. I thought it was kind of interesting and got some big news, but not a lot of coverage. Is that Lou Piniella? We knew he was going to retire at the end of the season after 23 years, but 2 days ago just called it quits. He's had a pretty successful managing career, hasn't he? Up and down, at least, huh, Barry?
Well, he's always been entertaining. You know, he's known for his explosions. You know, that's some managers are, a lot of them are known for their fiery temper. Billy Martin is one of them that comes to mind. Lou Piniella has had some blow-ups on the field. For the Reds and for the Mariners, especially where he gets to play in horseshoes with the bases when he disagrees with a call. So he's famous for some of his blow-up, but he was a 1990 World Series champion with the Reds.
Yeah, and that was what I would call an overachieving team, too. I think Lou Piniella was actually better with teams that didn't have nearly as much talent and made something out of them. Who's going to be the next manager there, Barry? I hear Ryan Sandberg's name. He's down in the minor leagues managing. I think he'll be, and he, of course, is a Cubs favorite for years. Maybe one of the most revered Cubs. I think he'll get that job, don't you?
Well, they passed on Alan Trammell, who had some previous experience, and he's in the dugout, and just short of having a Hall of Fame career. Ryan Sandberg was just, back in his day, one of the all-time great second baseman. I'm sure a lot of the Cub fans at Wrigley would like to see Sandberg.
Yeah, I think Sandberg's got the inside for this job. I'm sure they're going to make that announcement here pretty soon. I know there's not a lot of the season left, but enough of it, you might want to get him in there and get his feet a little wet up there in the pros. Let's get to some pro football, Barry. We'll get that out of the way. This Albert Haynesworth, Washington Redskins, Mike Shanahan situation, is getting kind of interesting now. Now he says he has a muscle condition. I don't know what the doctors are saying. I haven't seen the update yet today. What do you think's going on there, Barry?
Well, he sure is trying Mike Shanahan's skin here quite a bit. I think Shanahan just about had enough with Haynesworth. I think he's starting to lose his patience with him, and Shanahan may be more of an old-school guy. He thinks if he's 75%, he needs to be on the football field working out. Just a lot of excuses, seems to me, like for not being on the football field. Here's a talented guy. You would think they'd want to get out there, and Redskins are in a tough division, but certainly have a good ball club, so it just kind of makes you scratch your head. There's more here than the surface meets.
Well, let's go through Haynesworth's contract. This is what I don't understand. Well, maybe I do understand it. He may have signed, Barry, one of the most remarkable contracts in NFL history. 7 years, $100 million. In the past 15 months, folks, 15 months, he has been paid $32 million. That's paychecks to him. That's not money that's out in the future. So far, he's got $32 million in the last 15 months. He has $41 million more guaranteed. Where it becomes a little iffy is year five, which on his contract is 2013. They have an option to pick up for $29 million. Well, you know that they're never going to pick that much up. They will never pick up 20. I don't care if he's a defensive player of the year three or four times in a row. They're not going to be make him a $29 million a year guy with that attitude. So here's what he's got coming left. $41 million more of this contract guaranteed. Like I said, so last 15 months, he's already got $32 million. Is he one of those guys that said, hey, I got enough money to live off of, and I'm happy, do you think, Barry?
That, or he just, maybe he's just tired of putting on the Redskin uniform, you know, maybe he needs to change the scenery. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Ricky Williams, and saw him playing last night in preseason football, and happy for him that, you know, he's fell in love with the game. I'm sure Haynesworth loves the game, or just something. And it may be he has $100 bill stuffed inside of his pocket, and he's not motivated really to, you know, to play the all-pro type of football the Redskins are asking for.
Well, I think part of it is, let's not forget Shanahan here, folks, for just a second if we can. Shanahan ran everything in Denver. Him and Pat Bolden, the owner, were best of friends until the very end. From what I have uncovered and what I hear, they're still very good friends, but they knew the time to part had come. Shanahan, in the old at Denver, we both know Barry. He would have said Haynesworth, first of all, this contract never would have got done in Denver, correct, Barry?
I agree, yes.
And second of all, say the contract is for, instead of a guaranteed $41 million left, say it's for $15 million. You could trade him to somebody, possibly. Or if it was even less than that, you could just release him and say, well, that's it for that. But when there's that much guaranteed and you've already got $32 million into him, it puts Shanahan in a bad position too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's no so-called New York Yankees team that's just going to buy great stars, you know, to help maybe out the Redskins. You know, if you had one team that would just spend, you think of the Cowboys, but Jerry Jones, he'll go out and get great players. Maybe they've been in talks with the Cowboys or something like that to, you know, for a change. But being inside that division, you wouldn't think that would happen.
I'd be honest with you. If I was the Washington Redskins and Jerry Jones came up to me and says, I'll pay his salary, I'd let him go. I'd let him go. You're going to meet them two times a year, and that's it. You're getting rid of $41 million more of guaranteed money. I think they'd give away him in the second. The first team I thought at first also was the Dallas Cowboys, simply because they have a history of doing that. But I don't think there's any teams out there. And don't forget the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL is going to change a lot next year. I don't think there's any team that would trade unless they somehow they talk the Redskins into paying the vast, vast majority of that contract. I just don't think for a defensive nose guard or tackle, depending on how they're trying to play him, that you want to pay somebody $41 million for 5 years. Do you, Barry?
Yeah, that's just too big a contract, you know, and he hasn't been on the practice field, so I'm sure all the other teams are just sitting back and just enjoying their time seeing how the Redskins are going to handle this situation. It'd be difficult for any NFL franchise.
Yeah, let's be honest. When a team like Washington's doing this to themselves and has done this for years. Joe Gibbs, one of the interesting things about Joe Gibbs is he finally had to tell Daniel Snyder, don't bring me any more players, because Daniel Snyder kept bringing in players every week until the limit was there where you couldn't bring any new more players in. He'd bring some of these guys that had been great or good at one time and trying to make a comeback, and Joe Gibbs finally just told him, don't do that anymore. That's just it disrupts our team. But I don't know. I just think Haynesworth is going to sit there. Let me ask you this question. We'll get out of this final question on Albert Haynesworth. But we took a lot of email about this because of the comments we made a couple of weeks ago. Albert Haynesworth, will he ever play? I'm not saying be in, but will he ever play football in a Washington Redskins uniform?
That's a great question. You know, this situation needs to be resolved sooner than later, and the later it goes on in the season. You know, if he's not played by, you know, week 8 of the 16-game schedule, he's probably not ever going to play for him again.
Well, I'll tell you something. They may make him physically unable to perform, something in that area. But here's what I believe. I believe they'll suit him up, but they will never play him, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that if he played even one down and got hurt, then they're in line for a lot more of that contract again. So I think we've seen the last of Albert Haynesworth at Washington. But, again, I'd be shocked. I don't know who would take him. But I would say the next training camp and preseason is getting to the very end of it. So I'm going to guess if something happens, it's going to happen within the next 2.5 or 3 weeks. Sidney Rice, the great wide receiver from Minnesota that made Brett Favre's job so much easier, out with hip surgery, at least out 8 weeks, Barry, maybe even longer. That's bad news for the Minnesota Vikings, because he was one of the weapons that Favre just loved to go to, wasn't he?
Yeah, and they've also, Percy Harvin is another one of their receivers from Minnesota. He's been banged up quite a bit, and Favre doesn't have the agility he once had, so he needs quality wide receivers. He's got Peterson coming out of the backfield that still gives him a really good target out of the backfield, but that's a big blow for the Vikings.
Yeah, Percy Harvin's problem is migraine headaches. He's had them all his life. He's been to doctors, specialists. They don't know how to get rid of them. You know, who was the last player that we really knew that had terrible migraine headaches?
I'd say Abdul-Jabbar.
Absolutely. He didn't play in the sixth game, and probably wouldn't have played in the seventh if necessary, back in, I believe it was the 1980 series. Gets migraines so badly, they almost black out. They just have to sit in a room that's dark and quiet and get rid of them that way. So you take Sidney Rice and Percy Harvin, and we forget about Harvin returning kicks too, Barry. This Vikings team is going to have a hard time being near what they were last year, I think.
Yeah, you know, the Green Bay Packers are just really, really, because of the Brett Favre saga, so to speak, but they want to jump up there and be the number one team. Chicago Bears, if Cutler gets off to a good start, they're going to be really hard to beat. Detroit's going to be Detroit, so I think they're out of it. But that NFC North, used to be the old black and blue division, has always been one that fans have really enjoyed keeping up with.
Yeah, Detroit's going to get better over the years. I guarantee Detroit will be better. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but Barry, I'm going to say in 3 years, that's going to be a better team, simply because I think they've drafted correctly for the first time. They haven't taken all wide receivers. Remember how they used to take a wide receiver with the number one pick every year? Now, last year they took Matt Stafford, played well at quarterback. This year, Dominican Sue, the defensive tackle from Nebraska. I think they're going to be better. One more NFL note, or I should say just pro football note, I guess, Barry. Maurice Claret, who you and I have talked a lot about over the years, because came out of high school out of Warren, Ohio, played on the Ohio State team that won the national championship, even though he was a running back, made the defensive play of the game when he made a guy who intercepted a pass fumble. He's trying to get a UFL contract. That's under the NFL, the UFL, with Omaha. But he needs to get permission from a judge to travel to try out. Boy, his life's gone downhill, hasn't it, Barry?
You know, he was back after they defeated, I believe it's Miami there in the national championship game. He was a poster child for some of these athletes coming out early. Everybody thought that maybe he had a chance to go straight to the NFL. Wore the number 13 in the backfield, and just had a really exceptional freshman year, and they were touting him as maybe here's somebody that might break through and be able to leave and break the rule about going after, you know, 1 or 2 years in college. But after he declared, I think he decided he wasn't coming back for school at Ohio State and let himself get out of shape and just never made it to the big leagues.
Boy, that's correct. And this guy had some talent in high school. I had a friend of mine when this guy was a junior in high school that lived out by Warren, Ohio, and told me he'd seen the greatest high school running back he'd ever seen. And that in that area, there's always been a lot of football talent. He said, "Where do you see this kid?" Barry, why don't we take our halftime break right now? We'll be back with more Let's see what we got left. We still got some college football and some basketball left. We'll be right back right after this message.
Are you in the mood for hot, delicious pizza tonight? Well, in Green Forest, there's only one place to go. Pizza Pro and Movie Time. They offer the best in mouth-watering pizza, great sandwiches, and healthy salads. While you're there, pick out a movie from their large selection of the newest releases. That's Pizza Pro and Movie Time. 870-438-5457. Owned and operated by Barry Mullen, coach and sponsor of the North Arkansas Fever girls basketball team.
So, Barry, I guess here in Green Forest, we have our first home athletic event of the year for this school year, volleyball game. But you're gonna, I know you'll be serving pizza over there. But if people would like to have some pizza, what's your special there at the Pizza Pro and Movie Time tonight?
Phil's, the large pepperoni pizza is $11.28 after tax. It's Michelle Work, our girl that's worked for us quite a bit here in the daytime, very good cook, said she's been very busy today with a lot of pizza orders, so hopefully we'll be busy again tonight. But, yeah, our senior high girls volleyball team kicks off their home season tonight against Marshall High School, and we expect them to have a really good team.
Yeah, this could be a really good team for the Green Forest volleyball girls. We're going to go back old school here just for a second, Barry, and we're going to have a trivia question. And here's the trivia question, and if you know the answer,
any large one topping their choice. We've been moving a lot of pepperoni pizzas, but we also have beef pizza that's very good, Italian sausage. So any large one topping your choice for the correct trivia question.
The correct answer to this trivia question: what NFL team drafted Maurice Claret? We were just talking about Maurice Claret. He got drafted a couple of years ago. What NFL team had the draft rights to Maurice Claret? You know that. You go ask for Barry over here at Pizza Pro and Movie Time, and he'll be happy to, if you get it right and you're the first one over there to get it right, you can just tell him what kind of pizza you want, and he'll be happy to get it for you. Barry, let's get to the top, some of our top stories in college football. The top 25 preseason poll came out. Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Boise State 3. No surprise to you. You had the top two in order. Boise State is a surprise to you as high as number three, Barry?
Well, with all their returning starters and going undefeated last season, you know, I think that's a fair assessment of where they're going to be this year. They got a tough game off the start. Is it Virginia Tech? Yeah, that's going to be the game of the week. You know, when the season opens up, I think a lot of people will be glued to the TV. Frank Beamer has a really good team at Virginia Tech every year. They'll compete for the ACC championship. So I don't mind Boise State being number three.
Yeah. I've got something that I don't agree with, and I don't think they should have the ratings mean anything yet. In other words, if I was in charge of college football, I wouldn't come out with my exact, the one that we hold where people have to move up to get into certain bowl games. I wouldn't have that until the second or third week after teams have played at least two games and see where it stands, how it stands then, because you really get more of a feeling for teams after two or three games. The reason for that is, as you and I were talking, Boise State started last year at either 14 or 17, depending on the poll, and could never get up to play in the championship game. I just wish they'd hold that back a little bit. But Boise State has 21 of 22 starters back. That right there is impressive, huh, Barry?
Yeah, and their non conference schedule. You know, they probably think they've got a pretty healthy conference schedule playing out. As a Mountain West, I think Boise State's a part of, and they probably feel like they have a good conference.
I don't like Boise State. Here's what I'm saying. If they go undefeated, there's no way to keep them out of the national championship game. It's just impossible unless both Alabama and Ohio State go undefeated also. Otherwise, Boise State's going to move somewhere up in there. They might think they have a good schedule, a conference, but I'll be honest with you, Barry. In the SEC, they would never finish in the top two or three, especially in the SEC East every year. They'd finish third or fourth. year after year after year. I'm not saying they wouldn't have a great team one year where they could move up, but I don't think it's possible to say that they'd finish. If they played in the SEC, there's no way they'd ever go undefeated, is there, Barry?
Not just game after game with the balance of the SEC. That'd just be one of the all-time great stories if somebody from the Mountain West came over and went just ran through the SEC schedule.
Yeah, it might happen. Like I said, if you had one great team, it'd be more apt to happen in basketball where you have seven great players. But in football, let's be honest, you need 25, 30 players. It's athletes, real athletes. It'd be hard to see that coming out of the Mountain West Conference. Something interesting happened. They were interviewing 12 writers about SEC football. Five of them said, Barry, that Alabama won't even get in the SEC championship game. They're preseason number one. Five, which is out of 12, is nearly half, Barry, say they won't even get in the SEC championship game. Three of them said that it would be Auburn. Two would be Arkansas. Two of the writers said Arkansas. Your comments on that, Barry?
Arkansas is everybody's darling right now, even though the AP comes out, and I think they have them at number 17, which figure there's three teams in the SEC West that may be ahead of them, maybe two. Auburn has got a lot of starters back. I think the people in Auburn are expecting a lot out of that bunch. You know, it's hard to think that either Arkansas and Auburn are probably both not going to beat Alabama this year. You think maybe one team might slip up on them. Arkansas has got Alabama at home, so that's going to be an advantage to them. But, you know, the SEC is funny that way.
Yeah, Auburn, it'd be hard for Auburn to sneak up on Alabama. I mean, they're big, big, big rivals. Hey, that state is divided right down the middle with Auburn and Alabama people. And as we said, we're homers for Arkansas. But if Arkansas is going to do it, it's going to be this year. But I was just surprised. I could see one or two writers saying that Alabama wouldn't reach the SEC championship game. But I sure can't see five of them saying that. Barry, let's talk a little basketball now if we can. I know you were really into this, the championships games on TV. Today, Rajon Rondo withdrew from the USA basketball team. That leaves them with 12 players. They hadn't made the cut yet. He withdrew. I found that a little surprising, didn't you?
Yes, I don't know what the reason is unless, you know, maybe he felt like he should have been in the game against Spain and Krzyzewski chose to keep him out of the ball game and went with Derrick Rose and Chauncey Billups. But, yeah, that's very surprising. He may have had some hurt feelings there.
Yeah, so let's give everybody their 12 players. See if you can do that, Barry. Let's start it up front. For the World Championship Games, this is America's roster. Go ahead. Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, and Lamar Odom and Kevin Love, I think, will be the three players that do most of the post work.
Yeah, and it looks like, I'll be honest with you, the way Krzyzewski was talking, he's going to play Lamar Odom the majority of minutes in the post. That's just what was said today. Okay, so let's go to their wing players. That's three. We still got nine to go, Barry.
Well, Granger didn't get much playing time the other day from Indiana, so we don't want to forget about him. Iguodala, Rudy Gay. You might put Kevin Durant out there at the wing, so there's four to start off with that may play some swing man.
Right, and you can see what this team is going to do. Let's get to their guards, and then we'll get into that a little more. Go ahead with their guards, Barry.
Well, Eric Gordon, he's the one that I kind of thought that he might get cut for the last one, but he's hanging in there. Russell Westbrook, he's another one that you know, we talked about that might get cut, so we don't forget those two, and then.
Chauncey
Derrick
Billups.
Rose. Yeah, Derrick Rose, Chauncey Billups. And that's close to 12, but I'm probably forgetting one.
Now that's your team. Here's what I'm saying. If you look at this team, Barry, really close, what's happening is the days of, at least for this World Championship, of having a great big pivot guy inside, those are pretty much gone. This is a very, very fast team. And what I was saying is, guys that can play a lot of different positions, particularly defensively. They can play a lot of different positions defensively. Durant, Gay, Iguodala, they can all guard point guards if they had to, couldn't they?
I agree. You know, they got these multiple positions. You know, there's a lot of these guys are defensive specialists. You know, they can really just play out on the floor, and they use their speed. You know, the last thing you do is expect them to stay down and get a 3 seconds of the lane call on the offensive end. They're going to really be playing with their face to the basket.
Yeah, they sure are. This is a very fast team. Not exactly the team you and I envisioned, but we'll see how it works. But you were saying something very interesting. This is the World Championships, but when the Olympic comes around, it'll be Dwight Howard, it'll be LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, if he still wants to play then. It'll be a whole different team. But some of these young guys like Rose, and particularly parts of that Olympic team, right?
I think you take those two guys for sure. Durant's going to get he'll be a top 12 selection. Derrick Rose is certainly getting better. The rest of those guys, you know, they're just kind of – they're in the foggy area. I don't know if they're going to be good enough. Some of them are going to have some outstanding play. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We left out Stephen Curry, you know, the shooting guard that's really been impressive. But it's going to be hard for them to break in. Yeah. It's going to be hard to break in those. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would see Curry going maybe to the Olympics too, Barry, simply because you have to stretch the defense out. He's going to be a weapon, and if he's healthy, he's going to be a weapon, both in the World Championships and in the Olympics. I want to get to some NBA real quick because the Nuggets are making moves, talking moves all around. Now, this is a team that the coach, George Karl, is very sick. Don't know if he'll be back. They don't have a general manager. Right now, supposedly, they're going to be run by Josh Kroenke, who is a 30-year-old son of the owner. They're trying to trade J.R. Smith, who has an expiring, that's the important part, $6.7 million contract. J.R. Smith. Barry, tell us what you think. Teams would like to have J.R. Smith?
I think so. He's an athletic guy that really provides a spark offensively. Good three-point shooter. You know, I thought he fit in pretty well with Chauncey Billups back there in the backcourt some. Stayed away from Carmelo's game. Carmelo likes the wing and baseline play quite a bit. So it's kind of surprising to me. They're really – Carmelo's got 1 foot maybe toward New York. It's a team that was really solid last year at this time with George Karl. It's all of a sudden kind of becoming unraveled.
Yeah, this is – when George Karl was diagnosed again with cancer, this made a big difference. That team went downhill from then. But I was like you. I like J.R. Smith. That team, simply because, Barry, he opens the court up for Billups driving, he dishes it off to J.R. Smith for the three, and you said it very nicely. He never gets in Carmelo Anthony's way. If Carmelo's single down on the post or anywhere on the court, on the wing, J.R. Smith knows enough to get away from him because there's very few players in the NBA that can handle Carmelo Anthony one-on-one. Now, a couple teams of Carmelo Anthony, we always talk about the Knicks, but here's who's really looking at him hard. The L.A. Clippers are looking at him, and supposedly he likes the Houston Rockets. What do you think about those two, Barry?
Well, we keep waiting for the Rockets. A lot of their success is going to center around Yao Ming, and I'm sure they're doing everything they can do to get him healthy for the season. That's a team, even though they're in that Texas triangle down there, it's very difficult. San Antonio's always good. Dallas has always got a good team, but you keep thinking Houston to be a perennial playoff team, but they messed up last year.
Yeah, well, without Yao Ming, McGrady, of course, is gone. He's been hurt for several years. They have a good point guard. I don't think he'll go there. I think he's going to wait and go to the Knicks. Really quickly, the last of the NBA news of today, Kwame Brown, who in 2001 was the number one pick, has been re-signed by Michael Jordan's team, the Bobcats. He has to beat out Nazi Muhammad and Eric Dampier. Anything left for Kwame Brown, Barry? Can he play at all?
Well, that's Michael Jordan's big bust as a GM and taking Kwame Brown number one and just very surprising. You know, that's really made a lot of top headlines in the NBA news this past couple of days.
Yeah, that's I think Kwame Brown could play maybe with Michael Jordan and Larry Brown. Maybe they can get something out of him finally from where he went as the number one draft pick. Well, Barry, that's our show. I hate to say it. That's our show for today. We're already out of time. Folks, we'll be here again tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. Rarely right, but never wrong sports. Barry, thank you for joining me, and I'll see you tomorrow.